Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Mike will be back next week in the pulpit, and he'll be preaching about Memorial Day and the importance that we have and our commitment to one another. And then in the summer, we'll be talking about hidden gems all through the summer, or hidden treasures. We'll be looking at the different treasures that we find in the Bible that we maybe don't often hear about. And so that's going to be a fun summer series. But today we are wrapping up this four-week series called Sick with Hurry, where we've talked about the idea that hurry, not busyness, but that internal sense of hurry, can be a spiritual enemy, can keep us so distracted, so disconnected from God, that we may start to weaken in our faith. And the importance of practicing things like solitude and silence and Sabbath and prayer in order to stay connected to God, to be really intentional about that. And I have to say that I am aware that not everybody is super excited about these monastic practices. I have a story for you. I have a friend, well, my good friend Lane, our birthdays are about 6 weeks apart, and we decided for our birthdays this year, instead of buying each other things, that we would gift each other experiences that we would both enjoy. And so for her birthday in March, I bought us, for her, an hour in a rage room. You guys ever heard of a rage room? So this is a room that you can pay to go in to break things. And they got us all decked out in this really protective gear, like eyewear and like a full bodysuit. And it seemed a little bit like overkill at first, but then I realized as we got in there and started really breaking things that that protective gear was pretty important. I think there's a picture of us. After we've broken lots of things. There was a sledgehammer, there was an old washing machine, there were several small appliances and crowbars and baseball bats and lots of glass bottles, and it made a huge mess. I felt very bad for the people that were going to have to clean it up, but as Lane reminded me, like, that's why we paid them, right, so that we could go in there and do that. And then when it came time for my birthday, about 6 weeks later, she bought us, for me, an hour in a float tank. Now, if you've never heard of a float tank, this is basically like a sensory deprivation experience where you get into this little tank that is filled with water that is so heavily salted, it allows you to float effortlessly. And it's dark and it's quiet and you don't know what time it is, right? And you're all alone in this little pod. And then after, there's a massage chair, and you get a fluffy robe, and they bring you herbal tea. Like, it is serene. As chaotic as the rage room is, this is as serene as the float tank is. So my point is, I realize that some of us are rage room people, and some of us are float tank people. And if you are a float tank person like me, you've probably enjoyed this series, where we have talked about these ancient practices of solitude and silence and Sabbath. And if you are a rage room person, you're probably like, no, I'm not a monk. Give me something to do, right? And so I understand that for sure. But my point is that all of us, really, whether we prefer it or not, need to practice some sort of intentionality in terms of connecting with God. Let's look at Genesis. The Bible begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then it details 6 days of creation, all the hard work that was necessary to get the universe up and running, right? And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God rested. So we can come up with all kinds of reasons why we are too busy to rest. A demanding job, little kids, maybe we just don't like it, right? We don't want to have to deal with the thoughts in our head that come when it's quiet. But the answer to that, those objections, is always going to be God rested. And in doing so, he built a rhythm into creation, built a rhythm into our souls. The Hebrew word we talked about is Sabbath, which means to stop, but can also mean to delight. And so Sabbath doesn't have to look the same for everyone. Whether you're a rage room person or a float tank person or somewhere in between, Sabbath is what feeds your soul. So it might be gardening. It might be fishing or sailing or sitting outside smoking a brisket or going for a really long motorcycle ride and enjoying creation, a long dinner with friends and family. The point isn't so much the activity. It's that whatever you do on a rhythm, right, whatever you do, that you do it intentionally, that you pay attention to where God is at work in that activity, and that you take time to pray. So the first week we talked a little bit about how that the biggest threat to our faith, and this is important for the confirmands, the biggest threat to your faith isn't necessarily that you will turn away or intentionally reject God. The biggest threat is that we will become so distracted that we drift slowly, subtly, almost to the point that we don't even notice the drift until we no longer notice his presence or hear his voice. And so that's why today we're leaning into simplicity and slowing, these practices that invite us to resist the hustle and to pay attention to what matters most. Because simplicity helps us to strip away what distracts us so that we can focus our hearts fully on God. And slowing helps us move through life, even if we're busy, even if we have lots of activity, as Jesus did, but that we move through life with an intentionality rather than with exhaustion. Ruth Chow Simons, who is a Christian author and artist, she writes that God isn't after our performance. He's after our hearts. So this series hasn't been about giving you a to-do list of things that you need to practice. It's about remembering that we're not trying to do more for God. We are trying to be more with God. So however you're wired, Sabbath is less about the activity and more about attentiveness, about making space to remember who you are and whose you are. And that kind of space, it doesn't happen by accident. We have to choose it. We have to intentionally create it. Even Jesus had to step away from the noise. Even the disciples had to take a break from their busyness of doing good. So we're going to return today to the Gospel of Mark, and we find this moment when Jesus invites his followers to stop, not because their work wasn't important, because it was, but because rest was also important. And Jesus models this for us. So let's read just a short passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So right before this moment in the gospel, two important things happen. First, the apostles return from their mission. Earlier in the chapter, you might remember, Jesus had sent them out two by two to preach, to heal, to cast out demons. And so they're coming back, and they're reporting to Jesus everything they had done and everything that they had taught. And then the second thing is that we hear the story of the execution of John the Baptist. And so it is a moment of grief for the disciples, a moment of loss. And it's a moment when they are realizing that high cost of speaking the truth. So when Jesus says, "Come away and rest," he's speaking into their exhaustion and their heartache. He's acknowledging that even when the work is good, we need rest. He's telling us that when the world seems heavy, we need rest. And that is just as true for us as it was for the disciples, because we really do live in a world and a culture that runs at full speed. We've got this 24-hour news cycle. We've got computers on our wrists. We have calendars that tell us where we need to be. There's this always something grabbing for our attention. And more than that, I think we have a culture that tells us that we can have it all. We can be busy and we can be peaceful all at the same time. We can be it all, have it all, do it all, right now. But that's not really how life works. And that's not really how spiritual growth works. We're going to look in a minute at Ecclesiastes and this idea of seasons that reminds us that God doesn't necessarily expect us to bloom constantly. He created us for seasons of joy and sorrow, of planting and harvesting, of speaking out and staying silent. It's very important to discern which is which sometimes of that, of action and stillness, and of clarity and certainty. And so this is a really important message for all of us, but I think especially today to the confirmation students, that we remember that today you have made a decision to walk with Jesus, and not just today, but in every season of your life. And there will be seasons that feel joyful and you feel full of God's presence. And then there will be seasons that feel dry, where you feel uncertain or heavy. But each one of these seasons matters. God uses each season of our life. Every one of them can shape our faith. And so let's turn to this well-known passage of Scripture that reminds us how life is meant to flow in seasons. If you don't know this from the Bible, you'll know it from the song. For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. So the book of Ecclesiastes is part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and it's traditionally attributed to King Solomon. And Solomon is giving us poetry, but he's also giving us permission. Permission to grieve when it's time to grieve, and permission to rest when it's time to rest. Permission to grow patiently, slowly, season by season. The scripture reminds us that we can't be in summer and winter at the same time. You don't have to do all things at once. God is with you in every season, not just the sunny ones. So there's this picture up here of a tree, same tree in four different seasons. In spring, new buds and blossoms emerge. It is a beginning. In summer, the tree is full and green, and everything feels alive and wonderful and beautiful. In fall, the leaves are changing and they begin to drop to the ground. In winter, the branches are bare and it looks like nothing is happening. The tree might even look dead. But underneath the surface in all these seasons, the roots are still growing. The tree is still alive. It's still becoming. The tree doesn't uproot itself when it's not blooming. The tree doesn't start to panic when the leaves start to fall off. The tree doesn't give up when the cold comes. It stays rooted. And that is what we are called to do as we commit to a life of walking with Jesus Christ. We are called to stay rooted. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 tells us, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither." We are called to stay rooted like that tree. And so how do we do that? We do it through Sabbath, through prayer, through worship, by being part of the church, by talking to God. And we don't do these things because they produce instant results. They're not always going to make us feel good. But it's not about the feelings. It's about the way that these practices shape us over time. So to our confirmands, you're not just saying today, "I believe." You're saying, "I will stay rooted in Christ through every season." And there will be seasons when you feel so close to God, you could burst. When church feels exciting and real and wonderful, and when you pray, you feel peace. And there will be seasons when you feel nothing. When you wonder if God is listening at all, when you're tired or bored or uncertain. And in those moments, those seasons, really kind of try to rethink what a win looks like. In those seasons, a win might look like you keep walking. You keep praying, even when you don't feel like it. You keep showing up. You stay rooted. And that's real discipleship. That's what faith, a life of faith, looks like. It's important to remember that seasons will change. You may not always feel as on fire as you do today. But the love of God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So stay rooted and stay faithful and continue to walk with Him season by season. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we are so thankful that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are so grateful for the invitation that You give us to stay rooted to You, to stay close. God, we ask that You would plant deep in our hearts this knowledge of Your love, that it never changes, that when we walk through a season where we feel like we have walked too far away, Your love always chases us. You are always there for us, that You always will celebrate when we return to You. So God, we ask that for the confirmands today and for all of us, that You would put within us a spirit of faithfulness, that You would give us the courage to be consistent, to believe, to not follow fleeting emotions or experiences, but to stay deep and rooted in the knowledge of Your love through every season. Help us remember that You are there. God, we pray that even when we are busy, even when we are distracted, even when we are pulled in so many different directions, that You would give us Your presence, that You would magnify Your presence in our lives, that You would draw our attention to the way that You are present, the way that You are active, and the way that You are working, and that we would be grateful for that, that we would be attentive to it. God, we ask that You would give us the courage to reject the hurriedness of this world and instead find ways to spend time with You intentionally. Lord, we are so grateful for all the gifts that You've given us. Thank You, God, for the ways that You remain ever present through all the seasons. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.